All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. All right, so first of all, we'll say good morning. Welcome to Maseches Shkalim. First of all, an incredible mazel tov to all of those who completed Maseches Pesachim. Also, just a reminder that we will be having our Siyum in Yeretz Hashem for Maseches Pesachim next Motzai Shabbos at Milk and Honey Bistro. At what time? At 8:30. And you can see Ari Lerner for all details regarding that Siyum in Yeretz Hashem. Also, to thank Ari for the beautiful spread we have this morning. Hashem, really beautiful. And to take the opportunity to thank Ari, is the one really who is make sure that we have fresh coffee every single morning. And also to thank Baruch Fishel and to thank Saeed, who very often are instrumental in bringing out the coffee in the morning, because it doesn't do too much for us in the kitchen. Baruch Hashem. So we have a wonderful joint effort, and thank everyone for pitching in.
Thank Kat for the apple pie.
Oh, Alan Shkoa for the apple pie. Absolutely. I'm a little disappointed. Thank for being wise enough to know what you can and what you can't do. So also this morning we begin Maseches Shkalim. So Maseches Shkalim is a little bit different on a number of levels. First of all, it's a volume of the Talmud Yerushalayim. There is no Bavli, there is no Babylonian Maseches Shkalim, and therefore again, essentially in the learning of Talmud Bavli, we've taken on Maseches Shkalim as one of the tractates in the Bavli, even though again, of course, it's not. Now the reason I'm sharing that with you is because you will notice that the layout and the style of the Gemara is very different. I mean, not like worlds apart, but the wording of the Gemara is different, the syntax of the Gemara is different, and if you'll notice immediately, the pages themselves are different. You will notice that these pages are much longer. Now, you may not look much longer, but if you look at the size of the text, you'll notice that the text is much more condensed. You'll also notice one of the most dramatic differences is there's no Rashi. There's no Rashi, and Yerushalmi Rashi did not write on the Yerushalmi. But instead, what you'll notice is you have about, just even on the page, you have four different commentaries that are all Rashi. Like Karban Ha'Eidah is the primary commentary that goes throughout the Yerushalmi, which is like Rashi. Here in Shkalim, we happen to have another commentary called the Tiklin Chadatin. Tiklin Chadatin literally means, Tiklin in Aramaic is Shkalim. Shkalim, because again, remember in Aramaic, the shin and the tav are interchangeable. And chaditin, the tav and shin, again, once again, interchangeable, means chadoshim, new shekel, the new shkalim. So that's a commentary. So we'll be referring to that a lot over the course of our learning, as well as the Karban Ha'Eidah. So just bear in mind, if sometimes the way the Gemara reads doesn't seem to be normal to you, it's not you. I mean, it may be partially you, but primarily it is the actual Gemara itself, because again, it is actually dramatically different. Okay, so with that, let me record this as well. Okay, so with that, we begin Daf Beis Amud Aleph Maseches Shkalim. So says the Mishnah, Be'echad be'adar mashmin ala shkalim. So on the first of Adar, we go ahead, mashmin, we'll see later on, means we make an announcement about the shkalim. I will say, as you can imagine, Maseches Shkalim is about shkalim. Good, well said. We know that there is a mitzvah to go ahead and each and every man, we'll discuss the particular ages, but each and every individual is obligated to contribute a half shekel. And we'll see, actually, there's more than one fundraising effort every year. It's not just our shul that has multiple appeals. Right? The Beis HaMikdash had multiple appeals as well, because there were multiple initiatives. So the half shekel that we're discussing right now was contributed towards communal karbanos. Well, we've already seen, even in our Pesachim days, that Lemaisa, there were communal karbanos offered every day. The most notable among them was the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Binarabayim. There was a morning offering, there was an afternoon offering. Those were communal offerings. In order for them to be communal, so the community themselves has to be financially vested in it. Everybody would contribute a half shekel. That half shekel would go into the pot, and therefore every single time they purchased communal karbanos, we all had a financial stake in that particular karban. So the Mishnah says that on the first of Adar, they would announce that the time for the collection of the shkalim is now here. They would urge people, now I want to just point out, you had to get your donations in by the latest by the first of Nisan. Actually, really by the last day of Adar. Because on the first of Nisan is when they would go in and they would purchase karbanos from new funds. It's almost like we'll discuss, by the way, interestingly enough, the way the Beis Hamikdash worked was on a Nisan to Nisan year. So what they used to do is they would collect funds, and all the funds were used to purchase karbanos of that particular year. We'll discuss what they did with leftover funds, which is actually very interesting. But comes Nisan 1, they wanted to be using new shkalim. So what the Mishnah says is, as of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which effectively is a month before the shkalim have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, they would begin to announce and remind people, bring your half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, va'ala kilayim. They would also announce regarding kilayim. We'll say kilayim, we know, are forbidden mixtures. Now what they're referring to over here is the fact that in one field, you can't plant multiple types of vegetation. We'll discuss the exact scope and parameter of that prohibition. But here's what's interesting is that halachically, if you have a very small amount of another type of crop, that does not constitute kilayim, forbidden mixtures. For example, we'll see the ratio is actually 1 to 24. So if let's say you have a ratio of 1 to 25 of, let's say, grain and grapes, that's not called kilayim. That's not ultimately called forbidden mixtures, although we'll see in the Gemara, we'll clarify that. So they would announce also Rosh Chodesh Adar that people should be vigilant regarding their fields. Why Rosh Chodesh Adar? Because again, remember, this was a time also when stuff was starting to sprout. So they were giving people that heads up, start to be vigilant about this. U'b'chamisha asabo, and on the 15th of Adar, Korinus HaMegillah, read the Megillah, that's Purim. Remember, Korinus HaMegillah refers to over here what? Walled cities. Walled cities, read on the 15th. Bikrachim in walled cities. U'metaknin es hadrachim. This is very interesting, we'll say. What else would they do beginning of the 15th of Adar? Now remember, 15th of Adar is 2 weeks before Pesach. Purim is 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks before, excuse me, it's a month before Pesach. I'm sorry. So what would they begin to do on the 15th of Adar? They would begin to fix the roads. Vesarachovos. Now drachim usually means like intercity roads, larger roads. Rachovos means the actual basic local streets. Ves mikvas hamayim, and they would fix the mikvos. Vaosin kol tzarchei harabim, and they would go ahead and take care of all public needs. And we'll say, what is this referring to? What is they're gearing up for the aliyah l'regel? Because remember, Pesach is unique. Why is Pesach unique? Because Pesach comes after the rainy season. What happens over the course of the rainy season? So the mikvahs get ruined, the roads get all muddy. So what they would do is there would be a massive undertaking to essentially repair and upgrade all of the public infrastructure to make sure that it was ready to go ahead and receive the Olei Regel, the pilgrims coming for Pesach. Furthermore, umitzainin es akvaras. They would also go ahead and demarcate the graves. This is very interesting. This is hard for us to imagine because we have organized cemeteries. But clearly what ended up happening in the times of the Mishnah, and certainly before and even afterwards, is that sometimes people would just be buried in places. You know, if you want an example of this, it's the same way. You know, when Yaakov Avinu buries Rachel Imenu, so where does he bury her? Where is it? On the side of the road. You know, for us today, Kever Rachel is a destination. But when Yaakov Avinu went ahead and buried her, it was not a destination. Ultimately, again, this was just a place. So you had these situations where you had graves just in the middle of nowhere. So what would they do, again, in preparation for Pesach? They would demarcate the grave. It's actually interesting. If you look, Rabosai, at the Tiklin Charetin, you see that? It's the lower right-hand column on your page. Say right over here, Umetzainin es akvaros. Besid. So they would go ahead. So first of all, he writes over here, the mikvaos, Rabbi say, they would have to clean out some of the dirt. Lenakosa mitit olaham shichmayim l'sok. So they have to make sure the mikvaos had the right measurements. They got rid of all the schmutz that may have accumulated there over the rainy season. Now look at that. Umitzainan es akvaros. Besid. They would go ahead and they would plaster the graves. They would smear the graves with plaster. Why? What does that do? It's white. So it just shows ultimately that there's a grave here. Sheyefreshu haKohanim vaOsei Taros v'lo yaAhilu ulefi. So fine. So we'll leave the rest over here. So we'll say so again. That lufi shebimos haGeshamim haya hasid muach machmas haGeshem lekach hayut srichim lachshvatan. Also, you also see, by the way, Yoshami has some crazy Rashi tevos. You know, not crazy. I don't mean crazy like crazy. I mean crazy like You don't see them in Bavli. So here that Shin Beis Yud Yud A Gimel is Shebiyamos HaGishamim. Shebiyamos HaGishamim. Yeah. Although I may take literary license with some of these sometimes, and just think of something else. But right now, this one happens to me. She was like a shaman. So over here, so what he's saying over here is they always would plaster graves with this white plaster that people should know it's a grave. Obviously, yeah. You can be vigilant, avoid it. Over the course of the rainy season, I guess the rain erodes the plaster a little bit, so they'd replaster it on the 15th of Adar, a month before Pesach. Oh, good. Good. The Yotzim Afal Akilayim. And what happens? And they would go ahead and on the 15th of Adar, they would once again go out and this time inspect the fields. And also, here's what's interesting. If you look at the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah is on the 1st of Adar, they would announce about Kilayim. They would make an announcement telling people to be vigilant about their fields. On the 15th of Adar, what we'll see is Bezin actually sent inspectors out to go ahead and look at the fields. In fact, if you look at the Tikkun Chalim, just says in Farshbi Gemara. Fine. So Gemara says the following: Gemara, based on with Aleph, 4 or 5 lines down. V'lama be'echal ba'adar. Why do they have to announce about the Shkolim on the 1st of Adar? Kedeshi aviu. So the question is meaning it's a whole month ahead of time. So why do you have to announce the people to bring in their donations a month ahead of time? Kedeshi aviu Yisrael ashiklay and ba'onasan. Because the idea is what? Because the idea is that we know it takes people time to get in their donations. So this way, if we go ahead and we tell them a month ahead of time, the hope is that give them a month of time, that'll make sure that they have all of their donations in, so that by the time the 1st of Nisan goes ahead and rolls in, we'll have all the donations in the temple coffers. I will say, I want to be clear. The whole idea of having all the money in by the 1st of Nisan, we don't need all the money. Basically, you just need all the money by the 1st of Nisan. But remember, this idea of getting your money in is because you want to have a financial interest in the karbanos. But that requires, says the Gemara, for you to have your donation in by the 1st of Nisan. Now, we'll see, that's not totally true also. We'll see that essentially what Chazal did is they gifted portions so that people did not yet contribute the necessary funds. But we want everybody to get it, so we give them a month's notice. So the Gemara says, Umar, Rabbi Shmuel, Barbar Yitzchok, Shumas Halishka, Kitchilasa. And interestingly enough, Rabbi Shmuel Barbar Yitzchok says that the Truma of the Beis HaMikdash, we model it after the way it was originally done. How it is originally done? Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashneinis, be'echad l'chodesh hukam ha-mishkan. That the same way that when the Mishkan was erected, it was erected on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And presumably all of the donations were in beforehand in order to allow the Mishkan to function normally. So we follow the same practice. We also, I mean, what the Gemara is saying is, where do we have this idea that we want on the 1st of Nisan for new monies to be used towards sacrificial service? We model that after the original way it was run in the Mishkan. Just like the Mishkan began operating on the 1st of Nisan, so too the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash financial year begins on Nisan 1 as well. And we want to dafka use new monies for sacrificial service. The Tani Alo, and we learned about this. B'yom shehukam ha-mishkam, bo ba'yom nitshuma ha-truma. On the day that the Mishkan was erected, from that day, Nabos said, again, this doesn't mean that it was on that day that the gifts were pledged. What it means is, it was on that day that they began to draw from the new funds. So you see from here that as of Nisan 1, you want to be able to use new monies for the karbanos. Rabbi Tavi, Rabbi Yoshia b'shem Kahana, Ne'emar Kan, Chodshe, v'ne'emar Lahalan Chodshe. It says over here, Abosai Chodshe, here means by karbanos. And it says over there, this is referring to in Parashas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hulu Chodshe Hashana. So by the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that this will be the first month for the months of the year. What month is that referring to? That's the month of Nisan. So it says Chodshe by karbanos. It says Chodshe by the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which refers again over here to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, Ma Chodshe Shene'emar Lahalon, Ein Monin Ela Nisan. Just like Chodshe by Kiddush HaChodesh, we know that we begin our year from Nisan, at least for certain things. Av Chodshe Shene'emar Kan, Ein Monin Ela Nisan. So too, when it comes to Karbanos, the new year for Karbanos also begins when? Also begins as of Nisan. So again, what the Gemara is trying to show here is this is why we want to have all sacrificial donations in prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the new year. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says, one second. Also, what's interesting about Yerushalmi is you'll hear different names that you won't necessarily hear in Talmud Bavli, which makes sense because Talmud Yerushalmi is being written in Eretz Yisrael. Bavli is being written, of course, in Babel. So again, although there is a lot of overlap, if you see names, you say, wow, I never heard of that person before. That's okay. So like Rabbi Yonah, I don't know if Rabbi Yonah is quoted in, I don't know if Rabbi Yonah is quoted in Bavli or not. I don't know. Halavai, in a couple of years, we'll all know. But right now, it's clearly a name that most of us are not familiar with outside of Bavli. So I'm Rabbi Yonah, Shavak Rab Tavi, Rosha Demasnisa, Va'amar Sofa. So interesting enough, so Rabbi Yonah says, one second, Rab Tavi, you left out the beginning of the mission and you only said the end. Dal kein kahad detani. You have to go ahead and include the whole thing. What does the Brisa say, Rabbosai? Zos olas chodesh bekadsho. So the Torah says, this is talking about by the karbanos for Rosh Chodesh. This is the olah that is given every month. Yachol yehei torim b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. You might have thought that perhaps you should collect money each and every month. Maybe that's what should happen. Maybe the Beis Hamikdash should collect money, and therefore they should draw money, draw from the temple coffers each and every month for sacrifices. Talmud lomar b'chodesho l'chodeshei hashana. B'chodesh echad hu torim l'chol chodeshei hashana. Rather, what do we see from here? Therefore, the Torah says, Talmud lomar b'chodesho. You do it in the month. What do we see from here? That Rabosai, you only go ahead and draw money for sacrificial outlays one time during one month throughout the year. And when is that? Yochol be'ezu chodesh she'yirtze. You might have thought that you could do it any month that you want. Ne'emar kan chodshei. It says over here by Karbanos chodshei. Ne'emar lahalon chodshei. And it says by Kiddush HaChodesh chodshei. Ma chodesh she'ne'emar lahalon. Ein monin ela minisan. So too, just as the chodesh that we go ahead and we said by Rosh Chodesh, excuse me, by Kiddush HaChodesh is from Nisan. Av chodshei she'ne'emar kan ein monin ela minisan. So too over here, what? So too, the Chodesh that we say by sacrificial funds is also only said regarding Chodesh Nisan. So we'll say essentially what we're doing is we're making a Gzeir Shava. Making a Gzeir Shava between Kiddush HaChodesh and between ultimately the collections for sacrifice for Karbanos. Just like the Chodesh by Kiddush HaChodesh refers to Nisan, so to the Chodesh, the Chodesh that's referred to by temple collections is also referring to Nisan. So the Gemara is just bringing a proof, therefore, that the collections for sacrifices throughout the year has to be in before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ma'u Mashmim. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, well, actually, the Gemara doesn't quote the Mishnah. The Gemara just says, Ma'u Mashmim. If you remember again, the Mishnah said, Be'echad ba'adar mashmien al ashkalim. So we'll say, just to be clear, what came out from that first piece of Gemara is this idea that we just have now a Gezer Shava. We have a biblical proof to the fact that the Shkalim, half shekel, has to be in Bairosh Chodesh Nisan. And in fact, we have two proofs to that. Proof number one is that we're modeling ourselves after what was done by the original Mishkan. Just like the original Mishkan ultimately was commissioned into service as of with Nisan 1, so all of the money must have been in by Nisan 1, so to we follow that model. But if you want something a little bit more textual, ultimately we have the Gzeir Shav of Chodshei Chodshei. Just like Chodshei by Kiddush HaChodesh means Nisan, so to Chodshei by Karbanos means Nisan, and we learn that the half Shkolim have to be in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Fine. Says the Gim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that on the first of Adar, Mashmin ala Shkolim. Literally, so the Gemara says, my Mashmin, what does that word mean? Rav Huna, Amar Machrizim. Rav Huna says it means that we announce. Because Mashmin literally means we make it heard. We make it heard. So Rav Huna says, no, don't worry. It just means we announce. So the Gemara says, Heich ma da'at Amar, ve'yitnu kol b'Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. So this is like what we've learned elsewhere, that here the Gemara is actually quoting the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, that they put out the call, ve'yitnu kol b'Yehuda b'Yerushalayim, Lahavi Lashem Masas Moshe Eved Elokim Al Yisrael Midbar. So this pasuk actually is referring to over here that they wanted to collect the half shekel. So how did they collect the half shekel? By Yitnu Kol. They put out the word. So the Gemara says, same idea. Mashmien means you have to announce. Meaning, even though you assume people know that it comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they have to go ahead and contribute their half shekel. But we all know people need to be reminded in order to give. Okay. So the Gemara says, so So we'll say we have a Mishnah that says there is no difference between the first Adar and second Adar. Actually, very apropos for this year, because this year is a leap year. Right? We have Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. So ultimately, there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, except Ella Mikra Megillah Mataros Ladion. Except that what? And then Rabbosai say is when do we celebrate Purim? We celebrate Purim in Adar Sheni. So in Adar Sheni, we have Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah Mataros Ladion, gifts to the poor, and we don't do that in Adar Rishon. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, ben Yoreh Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, af shinua shkolim ukelayim b'nehem. There's another difference that when we have two Adars, we only go ahead and announce about the shkolim and announce about the kelayim when in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. So the Gemara says Rabbi Chelbo v'Rav Huna Rav b'shem Rabbi Chiya Rabba hakol yotzin b'yodalid shehu zman kriyasa. Everyone is Yotze on that, makes a statement about Megillah. Everybody is Yotze on the 14th, because the 14th is the Iker Zman Kriya, is the Iker Zman to read the Megillah. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, V'yeos, that's true. Klum Amru Mashmim al Ashkolim, Lo Kedei She'aviu Yisrael Shkolim Ba'onason, Im At Amar Ba'adu HaRishon, Ad Kidon Is B'shasa Shisin Yomin. So interestingly enough, so Rabbosai, going back for a second, Rabbi Yossi says it makes a lot of sense that when there are two others, so when do you announce about the shkolim in Adar Sheni? Because if you announce about in Adar Rishon, what's going to happen? That's 60 days between the announcement and the time you have to give in your debt. So Rabbosai, again, fundraising initiatives have to be very properly timed. On one hand, you want to give people enough time to be able to contribute. On the other hand, what? If you give people too much time, they simply forget about it. So Rossi is saying over here, it makes sense that you would wait to announce the Shkolim until Adar Beis, because Adar Rishon is too much time. Similarly, Klum Amru Yotzin Af Ala Kelayim, Lo Kedei Sheyeh Yuhad Smachin Nikarim. So what's the whole point? Why do we announce about Kelayim? We announce about Kelayim because that's when the plants begin to be somewhat visible. But if you go ahead, if you go ahead and announce about the Kelayim, the forbidden plant mixtures, and the first about what's going to happen, Ad Kidon Inun Dakikin, the plants are so, Dakikin literally means small or thin, meaning there's no real visible vegetation at Adar Rishon, and so the announcement that you're going to make is not going to be effective.
How would you translate Ad Kidon?
Until that point in time, they're very small.
Okay.
Rabbi Chizkiya Shaul. Rabbi Chizkiya asked the following question. Me'ata, according to this, B'nei Bavel Mashmin Alashkolim Me'rosho Shel Choref. See, we'll say, here's what's interesting. Now, this idea of making the announcement about the Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh Adar makes sense for B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they're close. But for B'nai Bavel, maybe we should begin to go ahead and make the announcement already from the beginning of the winter. Look at the Tiklin Charetin, Rabbi Yossi. So the Tiklin Charetin, again, this is about 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Tiklin Charetin, bottom right-hand side of the page. Me'ata, Shatan dehashmas shkolim ukulayim, dafka b'sheni, now that we've established that when there are two Adars, we only announce about the Shkolim and announce about the Kelayim and Adar Sheni, using that logic, because otherwise it's too much time. Im kein b'nei Bavel, shem rechokim Eretz Yisrael, tzrichim lashmi merosh ha-shachoref, b'chdei sheyihiyeh lohem, shos lahabi shiklein ad aleph b'nei Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So if the Ketz Rabbos say, again, you have to give b'nei Bavel a little bit more time. So you should go ahead and what? Announce it from the beginning of winter. So the Gemara says, Kidei Sheyaviu, and I'll say, the other confusing part about Talmud Yerushalmi is, I'm not familiar enough with the history of the evolution of Talmud Yerushalmi, but it seems to be that the text was edited much less. So you'll see there are many words, that's why you'll notice, like there are little letters all over the place over here. That's because you've got the Mesoras HaShas, you've got the Nuschos HaBavli, the Nuschos Yushenos, the Hagos HaBach, Hagos HaGro. Everybody is taking stuff out of this text. So I'm going to try just to read it the way it's supposed to be. So if you see me skipping some words, sometimes it might just be because I'm tired. But other times, but more often than not, hopefully it's because I'm just reading it to you the way actually the agreed upon way to read it is. So this, but beginning of winter, we'll actually see what the beginning of winter is. it's probably even earlier than Shvat, because the truth is Shvat is the beginning of the thawing of winter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's already when the sap begins to pull on the trees. So it could be that the beginning of winter could be as early as Cheshvan. So that we'll see. So the Gemara says, Kidei, that's why, for example, that lo is taken out. Kidei sheyaviu yisro shiklei and ba'onasan. In order that the people of Bavel could bring their shkalim in the right time. So again, so the Gemara is suggesting, Eretz Yisrael, it's enough to go ahead and announce from Rosh Chodesh Adar, but from Bavel, perhaps we should give them a couple of extra months in order to be able to get their shkalim to Eretz Yisrael appropriately. Heisiv Rav Ula Kamei, excuse me, Kumi Rabbi Mani. V'hatanina, but we learned, B'shlosha prakim v'shana, Terminus alishka. Rabbi said, we will actually see this later on. This is the third Mishnah in the first chapter. There are three different times in which we go ahead and we remove money from the chamber. Rabbi said, we'll discuss actually very interestingly where all the money was kept. We'll learn about all of this. It's really quite fascinating. We'll learn about where the money was kept. We'll learn about who had access to the money. We'll learn about the fact that the people who had access to the money made sure to go in with no pockets in their garments. Again, the interesting of one thing we will see about the way that the Beis HaMikdash ran its treasury is it was with full transparency, full financial transparency. So we'll see later on that, in fact, what they used to do is they would go into the Lishka, they would go into the chamber where the money was housed three times a year. When would they do it? Beprosa Pesach. Prosa also means 15 days before Pesach. Beprosad Seres, 15 days before Shavuos, and Prosachak, 15 days before Sukkis, Amar Lei, Neymar Ilen Dekriven Beprosad Pesach, Ilen Dekriven Beprosad Pesach. Shavuos say, now what the Gemara is assuming is the following. Why are they going into the Lishka three times a year? We just got finished saying that when do they go ahead and do a withdrawal for Karbanic funds? When do they do it? On the first of Nisan, because we want everybody getting their money by first of Nisan. There's one massive withdrawal for the year on the first of Nisan. Shalom Yisrael. Now the Mishnah is telling us, now the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah that says what? They actually withdrew money three times a year. So the Gemara is saying, why are they withdrawing three times a year? So maybe it's like this. The craven, Beprosa Pesach. Because for those who were close, they withdrew the money 50 days before Pesach. What does it mean on both sides? Because the assumption is, the people in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't wait to get your money in the first of Nisan. You got your money in a little bit earlier. So what happens? So maybe 15 days before Pesach, they were withdrawing the monies of those who lived in Eretz Yisrael because the assumption is they had already gotten their money in. And then what happened? Those who lived a little bit further away, they would withdraw their monies 15 days before Shavuos. And those who lived really far away, there they went ahead and they took their money out when? Even before Sukkot. So look just about like, just look at the Tikkun Charetin once more. Begimel Prakim Terminus Alishka. Lishka Gidol Haisav Mikdash. There was a large chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. Shebahayu Machnis and Tchila Kol Hashkalim. They put all the Shkalim in there. The Achakach Yeshay Rotzil Nital Min Alishka Likach Ba'in Karbanos Sibur. Hayunotlin Memena Papam Echad Kidei Tzorech HaKarbanos Shakol Hashana. Ela Hayunotlin Min Alishka Yom Prakim Hashana. Okay, so now he's saying they went into the chamber three times. So the Gemara is going to, and we know when they went. 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, 15 days before Sukkot. Now the Gemara assumes, well, why is that? Why those times? Because the assumption is those who live close to the Beis HaMikdash got their money in by 15 days before, which essentially means Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we took their money out of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But those who lived further away couldn't get their money until later. So we went in 15 days before Shavuos and used their money. And those who went ahead, and those who lived very far away, couldn't even get their money in by then. Therefore, we went in and got their money 15 days before Sukkot. So this seems to share what we said before, because we were saying all monies were in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now it's clear that what? That it wasn't. Amar Beis, Amar Lei, Kula Ka'achas Iba. No. Understand. All of the monies came in at once. I have all this, meaning what it's saying is, everybody was vigilant to get their money in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even those who lived far away. So why are they going in three times throughout the year? This is very interesting. It's a good word to remember. Pumbi. What does pumbi mean? Publicity. Because we'll see later on What ends up happening is when they went in, it was a big deal. We'll discuss. There was a whole thing when they used to go in, fanfare. So there's no better way. There's no better way than to create additional buzz for fundraising than what? To do fanfare. So when by going in 3 times a year, they reminded people of their obligation to contribute. But in essence, all of the money was in already prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, v'shem Rabbi Hain nikreis v'lo nivas. Now we'll say a little bit of Agarata. This we'll also see by the way in Shkolim there is some very beautiful Agarata. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi said, could we read, is it possible for us to read the following Pesukim? V'lo nivas. Nivas literally means frightened. What it means is, can we read these Pesukim and not almost be like overwhelmed? What does this mean? Overwhelmed, literally frightened or overwhelmed. I'm sorry.
You're saying it's not the meaning. I was going below.
Hain nikra velo nivas. Can we read it and not be overwhelmed?
Oh, okay.
Says the Gemara. Somebody, you trust me? Trust me. So the Gemara says the value. It's good. So the Gemara says, Litova, listen to this. So on certain, what he's saying is, the Gemara is going to contrast certain psukim. So for example, Litova. We see something written for good. Vayotze Moshe Esa'am. So we'll say this is by Kabbalah HaTorah. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's somebody you need to keep on top of. So the Gemara says, Litova. Kol Nediv Leiv. So for example, I'll say this is by the contributions to the Mishkan. So when it came to the contributions of the Mishkan, what does the Torah say? Who contributed? Everyone who had a generous heart. Yet by the Chet Egel, what does it say? Vayisparku kol ha'am. And we'll say, here's what's interesting. The div leiv means what? Who gave? People who were generous, which by definition means what? Not everybody. Right? Only those who wanted to give. But amazingly, by the Chet Egel, who gave?
Everyone
gave. So here, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, he's going to contrast some of these psukim where it's a little overwhelming that when it came to time to do something good, so some people participated. But yet, when it came time to chas v'shalom sin, everyone participated. So the Gemara says, "Litova vayotze Moshe es ha'am." So when it comes to Moshe, this is by Kabbalah Satorah. By Sana Edik Revelation, what does the Torah say? Moshe led the people out to receive the Torah. So what does that indicate to us? That Moshe Rabbeinu had to take them. He had to take them. He had to lead them. L'ra'a v'tikrevun elai kulchem. Moshe, this is by the Chita Meraglim, the sin of the spies. That what happens? They came to Moshe. So when it came time to send spies because the people were worried about Eretz Yisrael, then everybody comes to Moshe. When it comes time for Kabbalah HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu's got to round up the troops. The Tova, when in a situation of good, as Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael. So when it came to, this is after Kriyas Yamsuf, so when they want to sing Shira, who initiates the Shira? Moshe, and then Moshe gets the people to sing. L'ra, yeah, when it comes to something negative, Vatisa Kolei Davosai, this is after the Meraglim, after the spies come back with their negative report, what happens? Everyone begins to cry. So again, for good, Moshe Rabbeinu has to get them to sing. But to complain, they all do on their own. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Achim, furthermore, Hashkimu Hishchisu. We'll say here, the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk from Tzifanya. Hashkimu Hishchisu, which literally means, we got up early and we sinned. What does that mean? V'chol Hashchasa Shayu Osin B'Hashkama Hayu Osin Osin. We'll say a very sad Gemara. Every single time we sinned, sin, we always reason, right? We always get up early. We get up early to sin, meaning to sin, there's an incredible amount of zeal. But to chas v'shalom, go ahead, unfortunately, but to do a mitzvah, sometimes it's a little bit more like pulling teeth. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Acha. Ein ata, listen to this. Rabbi Abba Bar Acha said, Ein ata yocha la'amot al ofya shel omazu. It is impossible to understand the nature of this people. We'll say, who is he referring to? He's referring to us, right? I've tried long and hard to figure out the Jews, and it is impossible to figure us out. Why? Nitba'in le'egel, v'nosnin. When we're asked to give to the sin of the golden calf, we give. Nitba'in le'mishkan, v'nosnin. We're asked to give to the Mishkan, and we give. See, Rabbi Osai, the difficulty about the Jewish people is, when we're passionate about something, we're passionate about it. The problem is if we're passionate to sin, then we sin big. And when we're passionate to do good, we do great things. So here, what Rabbi Abba Acha says, if you look at the other nations of the world, it's much easier to categorize them, to understand them. Most of them are either good or they're bad. But Klai Yisrael, amazingly enough, has this incredible koach, and that koach depends. Everything depends on how we apply it. If we use our superpowers for good, then mamish again, we're incredibly righteous. And when we use it for bad, we are horrifically terrible. So he just says it's hard to get a handle. So it's almost like we're a shtickle, like spiritually schizophrenic. What are we? Are we good? Are we bad? And the answer is, it depends. It depends on what we choose to be at that very moment. Weiter. I'll say underline, because that's a profound gemara. Tana, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Again, I've also said this is also what's hard about Yerushalmi is again, thank God, the good news is between the Karbana Eda, Tiklin, Charetin, Mishnah, Seilio, somebody tells us who this is. But Ribach, who's Ribach, so Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, Hada Mas Nisa, that he quotes this following idea, Va'asisa Kaporas Zav Tahar. So we'll say this is talking about the kaporos over here is the lid of the aron. The lid of the aron shall be made of solid gold. Yavo zohav shal kaporos, let the gold of the lid of the aron come along, the yichaper al zohav shal egel, and atone for the gold of the golden calf. So we'll say this is an interesting idea. That's why many of the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash are made of solid gold. Because again, especially if you go with the understanding that the Mishkan itself was made to be an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, we use that very material that was used to sin, and now we use it in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Chagai, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, says the following, Shalosh Trumos Ne'emru b'parshazos. There are three trumos that were said in this particular parsha. What are they? I will say what this means is, right now we've only been talking about the collection of the half shekel. And the collection of the half shekel was used for something very specific, namely for karbanos. But the truth is, there were other collections that occurred also in the Beis HaMikdash. Trumas Adonim, Trumas Shkolim, Trumas Mishkan. There was a collection for Rabbi Yossi. Adonim are the sockets. Now, what this is referring to is the original Mishkan. Because what happened, the original Mishkan was a portable structure. And what you had is, it was made of, remember, the walls were wooden planks. And the wooden planks had, they what are they called?
Rings.
But they're not ring. Almost like the way it worked is, if you can imagine this, if this is the wooden plank, there are protrusions that came out. Two protrusions that came out. And the planks themselves fit into sockets. Those, what are they called?
Tenons.
Tenons?
Tenons.
Tenons. Okay, good. So tenons, or things that stick out. Right? Either way, you could use it. I think things that stick out is the technical term. Right? So the tenons that come out, and they fit into the sockets. That allows the walls to be stable. Those sockets were made of pure silver. So there's a special collection for the Adonim. Obviously, that was not done in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash didn't have this type of structure. So the Mishnah is just saying, so the Gemara is saying over here, there were three different collections. There were the collections, the Shkalim, what we call for the Karbanos. There was Trumas Adonim for the sockets, and Trumas HaMishkan. Trumas HaMishkan was the actual fundraising effort to build the Mishkan itself. Right? The Mishkan required gold and silver and all different types of thread and wool and Trumas Agam, all these things. So the Gemara goes through each of these. Daber al b'nei Yisrael b'ikhuli Truma. When the Torah says, speak to the Jewish people and take from me a Truma, Zu Trumas Adonim. That actually refers to the Truma, to the collection for the silver sockets. Me'eis kol ish asher yidven olibo. What the Gemara is picking up on, it says Truma three times. Take from every person whose heart will cause him to give. Tikhu es Truma si. Zu Trumas Shkalim. This second Truma refers to the Truma of the half shekel, which again was used for karbanos. We'll say, by the way, also bear in mind, we'll get to this later on, the half shekel was also used for census purposes. But right now we're not focusing on that. Right now we're focusing on the actual monetary value of this half shekel. V'zos ha-truma asher tikhu me'itam, and this is the Truma you will take from them. Zu Trumas HaMishkan. This refers to the actual Truma to construct the Mishkan itself. So Rabbi said, all the Gemara is pointing out over here is, you see the word Truma was stated three times, and the reason for that is because there are three different collections. Trumas HaMishkan, the Mishkan. The collection for the Mishkan was mamish used for the Mishkan. Mashi Yirtzu Yasu. And ultimately, Rabbi said, whatever you wanted to contribute is what you contributed. Because Rabbi said, there already they needed everything. So you had a choice. You want to give gold, you want to give silver, you want to give purple thread, red thread, woolen thread, you want to give animal skins. Whatever you wanted to give, you had the option to give. Trumas Shkolim. the truma of the shkalim, the karban that was brought for sacrificial purposes. Mashi yirtzu yasu. Kadeshi yad kulon shav. And I will say, interestingly enough, the Tiklin Charetin changes the girsa here, and he says it's really mashi yirtzu yaviu. Yaviu. What you want to bring, you can bring. But just understand, everybody is an equal shin. I will say, what that means is, in at least for the Mishkan purposes, if you wanted to contribute more than a half a shekel, the Tiklin Charetin brings down, that was your prerogative. You can do that. However, just understand, your contribution will not come at the expense of someone else. Everybody is considered to have a half shekel vested financial interest. Anything you give above and beyond is a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, or to the Mishkan. Trumas Adonim, the truma of the Adonim, was for the Adonim, was literally for the silver sockets. Ha'ashir lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit. So the rich person should not give too much, should not give more, and the poor person should not give a little. So for the Adonim, again, everybody was equal as well. It's interesting enough, it seems like for the Mishkan itself, you could give whatever you want. For the half shekel, you could even give more than a half shekel, but you're only a half shekel is going to be credited towards the karban. And for the Adonim, everybody had to give exactly the same. Amar Rabbi Avon. So Amar Rabbi Avon. Af beparsha hazos ne'emar ba gimel trumos. So to in the parsha itself, it says gimel trumos, truma three times. Machatzis hashekel, truma lahashem. Yitain truma lahashem. Yitain truma sashem. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that even in the Machtzis HaShekel itself, it says the word Truma three times. I will say, why is this important for us? Because remember, on Purim, we do a Zecher L'mach, or actually on Tanis Esther, we do a Zecher L'Machtzis HaShekel. Right? We do a Zecher. Again, remember, this is all based on this idea. We do a remembrance to the half shekel because, again, people, even though, again, we said before that Lemaisa was on the first of Adar that they used to go ahead and announce about the half shekel, but we don't do it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. We do it instead on the 14th, 15th of Adar, either Tanis Esther or Purim itself. Now, what's interesting is if you notice, our custom is what do? We take $3 half. Why do we take $3 half for the commemoration of the Machtzis HaShekel? Because of this. Because since it says Truma three times in the Parsha of Machtzis HaShekel, we take 3 half shekels in commemoration of the 3 Trumos. Also, by the way, in commemoration of the 3 original fundraising efforts, the Truma HaMishkan, the Truma of the half shekel, and the Truma of the Adonim. So it's just interesting how you see how these statements in the Yerushalmi have trickled down through thousands of years to impact our contemporary practice. So the Gemara goes weiter. B'tesva of Kornis HaMegillah B'Krachim. On the 15th, they read the Megillah in walled cities. So the Gemara says, Kein Amar Rabbi Chelbo, and Rish He is Rav Huna, Rav. B'shem Rabbi Chelbo, Rabba. In the name of Rabbi Chelbo the Great. Hakol Yotzin B'Yodalid Shehuzman Kriyasa. Suppose here's what's interesting. Rabbi Chelbo made a fascinating statement. And in reality, everyone is Yotzin on Yodalid, which seems to indicate that what? That even if you lived in a walled city and you read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar, you are still, you fulfill your obligation. You fulfill your obligation. Which I will say is quite true. Why? Because even though walled cities normally read on the 15th, the Iker day for reading the Megillah is really the 14th of Adar. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lo ba lelamdecha ela lamdecha shekala mitzos hanoagos ba'adar ba'adar sheni einon noagos ba'adar yishan. So I will say, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah poses a problem because the Mishnah says that the walled cities read on the 15th. But Rabbi Chelbo said that walled cities could what? Even read on the 14th. So the Mishnah seems to disagree with Rabbi Chelbo, which the Gemara answers, no. Understand, the Mishnah is not really getting involved in a discussion about Purim. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Mishnah is coming to teach us that all of the mitzvahs that apply in Adar only apply in Adar Sheni and not in Adar Rishon. So the Mishnah is just giving an example of a mitzvah like Kriyas HaMegillah. But the Mishnah does not really intend to step into the machlokus regarding when the Megillah is actually read. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rav Acha, Havu Yosvin. So Rabbi Yosef and Rav Acha were sitting together. Amar Rabbi Yosef and Rav Acha, lo mistabra, ela l'sha'avar, aval lavo, lo. So we'll say, here's what Rabbi Yosef said. So Rabbi Yosef said to Rav Acha, he said it would appear that when Rabbi Chelbo made that statement, that even walled cities could read on the 14th. So when is that true? That's true if they did it already. Right, so let's say a walled city read on the 14th, and now what? Now it's the 16th of Adar. So we say, okay, he read on the 14th. But in terms of proactive practice, we would not lechatchila allow a walled city to actually read on the 14th. So the Gemara says, lo mistaber el shabar, aval lavo lo, v'hot honey, mokom shenagu lekrosa shnei yamim. But we learned that Rabbi said you had some cities that had the minhag to read the Megillah on both days, on the 14th and 15th. Why Rabbi said, why would you do that? Because there were some cities that there was a safek if they had a wall or not during the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. So we'll say, just so you should know, one of the examples of this is the holy city of Hebron. This week's parasha, right? Amazing how things come together. So Hebron, many read Megillah on the 14th to 15th. Why? Recently, when I say recently, last couple of years, they discovered a wall in Hebron. Actually, if you go to Tel Romeda, Tel Romeda is up the hill. So underneath the beautiful apartment buildings of Tel Romeda, there's an archaeological site. There's excavations. They literally found a wall that they think dates back to the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. A startling new discovery, which means that Hebron may have actually been a wall to the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. So there are many, again, it's a machlokes in Hebron about what to do, but there are many who actually read the Megillah both on the 14th and the 15th. Because up until this discovery, Hebron was an unwalled city. Like they read on the 14th of Adar, now they have 2 days of Purim, which out of all the things to do out of Safek sounds actually pretty good. I don't think you get too much opposition to that. So the Gemara says the following. So if you have a city where they read the Megillah for 2 days out of Safek, I too agree with this. Amar Rabbi Mana V'yeus Ila Mishekaria V'yodalid Lo Chozer V'karia V'tesvav Shema Shomimlo Imata Omer Kane Nimtsas Oker Zman Krachem V'yodecho. So we'll say, what's happening over here? So now the Gemara quotes this Braisa, and this Braisa says that if you have a city that was a Suffolk city, meaning you don't know, is it a walled city, not a walled city? So what do? You read on the 15th and you read on the 16th. Excuse me, on the 14th and the 15th. I'm sorry. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting is that Shapaz Akash Rabbi Chelbo. Because what did Rabbi Chelbo say? Rabbi Chelbo says really the 14th is the Iker day to read for everyone. So why don't you just say you read on the 14th? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says because he can't do that. Because when Rabbi Chelbo says that if you went ahead and you read it on the 14th through Yotzei, that's ex post facto. That's after the fact. After the fact, if you're on the 14th through Yotzei, but would we ever say that if a walled city, let's say, read it on the 14th, and now let's say both sides, it's the afternoon of the 14th before the 15th, would we say that they don't have to go back and read it on the 15th? No one's going to say that. Even Rabbi Chelbo wouldn't say that. When Rabbi Chelbo says that technically you could be Yotzei on the 14th, that's if you did it on the 14th, okay, you did it on a day that there's a Kriyas Megillah. But again, that's that last piece. The Gemara says, Ilu mishekaria biyudalit. If they read it on the 14th, lo chozer v'kari b'tesvav, is it possible to say that they wouldn't go back and read it on the 15th? Shema, that word ein is taken out. Shema shomen lo, could it be we would listen to them? Im ato omar kein, if you say that, meaning if you say that, both said they were just going to let them read on the 14th and not on the 15th, nim tseis oker zman krachim v'yadecha. It turns out that what? That you are uprooting the proper time for reading the Megillah in walled cities biyodecha with your own hands. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, therefore, what comes out over here, just to tie this together, when Rabbi Chelbo made his statement of Hakol Yotzin biyodalet, everybody could be Yotze, including walled cities, on the 14th of Adar with reading, what is that statement? That's a bidyevet statement. That's a bidyevet statement. But even Rabbi Chelbo would, of course, agree that what? The lechatchila, walled cities should, of course, read when? On the 15th. And to take it one step further, that according to Rabbi Chelbo, if a walled city read on the 14th, and we found out about it, and now what? It's the afternoon of the 14th. What do we tell the walled city?
Read again.
You have to read again on the 15th. That's obvious. Okay? Says the Imara. Tani Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mitzos Hanagos Ba'adr Sheni, Ein Noagos Barishon. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that mitzos that apply on Adr Sheni do not apply on Rishon. Okay, well, we said in the Mishnah already. Chutz mehesped v'tainis. Shein shavin zebaseh. We both said with one exception, this is halacha l'maisa, with the exception of fasting and, let's do the order, in eulogies and fasting. We both said, and this is halacha l'maisa, that again, on Adar Rishon, the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon are vested with some Purim-like identity, and therefore, again, we do not deliver eulogies, and we do not fast on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon. Also, something very important, that we don't do, we don't say Tachlon. Especially if it's a Monday or Thursday, you know, it's a mamish, you know, that's, forget about eulogies, right? Let's talk about that one. Right? So again, we see that those days are vested with some degree of Purim-like sanctity. See, although again, that first Adar has no vestige of Purim associated with it, except, again, for eulogies and fasting. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Ba is actually a person. Rebbe Ba is his name. So Rebbe Ba, Rebbe Yirmiyah, B'shem Rebbe Simon, B'shem Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi, Halacha K'Rushim ben Amiel, the Halacha Laz Rushim ben Amiel. And I'll say again, that is codified in Shulchan Aruch. Then Adar Rishon, the 14th of Adar Rishon, there are no eulogies, there are no fasting, and we don't say Tachanun. Rav Huna, Rabba, Ditziporin. Amar Hin, excuse me, Rav Huna, Rabba, Ditziporin. So Rav Huna and Rabba Ditziporin. Amar Hinhig, Rabbi Chanina b'tziporin kahada to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Lo Amar Elohinhi, Aba Lahalocha Lo. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So now they had different versions of this. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rab and Rabbi Simon, said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rav Huna and Rabbi Tziporin said that the halacha, that Hinhi, that the custom was like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say, there's a chilik between that. Saying that the halacha is like, it says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel is a definitive ruling. Versus hinig means what? Yeah. This is what we did. Not necessarily that it's definitive halacha. And I will say, what that also matters is, when you say the halacha is Rav Shimon Gamliel, what that means is, no matter where you are, the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. When you say hinig could just mean what? Hinig could just mean, that is the practice here. But lemaisa, it might not be the practice elsewhere. So the Gemara says, "Lo Amar Elohinig, Aval LaHalacha Lo." Well, says just to two more lines, "Aval LeInyan Shtaros." Listen to this. One other interesting ramification: when it comes to the dating of documents, Kosvin Adar Rishon, the Adar Sheni Stam. I will say, how do you date documents? Now, whether this is a ksuva or some other type of document, so the first opinion says that the way we do it is we write Adar Rishon, but Adar Sheni we don't qualify. Adar Sheni just written Adar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Adar Rishon, top of Gimel, Stam, Adar Sheni, Tanya. Others say, no, that we write Adar Rishon, Stam, just Adar Rishon is just written Adar, and Adar Sheni is written as Adar Sheni. I will say, how do we paskin? We paskin like the first opinion, that we write Adar Rishon, and we don't write Adar Sheni, because Adar Sheni is considered to be the primary, the real Adar, and therefore, again, it doesn't need a qualifier. Versus Adar Rishon, which is considered to be, also is interesting, because although you think, because it's a leap year, it's the second Adar that's the add-on. It's not halachically, the second Adar is really the primary Adar. Baharaya, that's the one in which we celebrate Purim in, and the first Adar is considered to be the leap year Adar. So we'll write Adar Rishon by the first Adar, and Adar Sheni Stam. I will say, you should just not halach lemaisa. That's what we do. But if a person ends up writing Adar Sheni, right, it doesn't disqualify the Shtar. The Shtar itself still stands. But again, the halacha is telling us that the Adar Sheni is the primary Adar.
Birthday is on Purim.